Wisconsin-based Quick Trip has a strong enough following that one couple has committed to being married in the store. The gas station is not alone. Other Wisconsin brands also have these cult-like followings. Harley-Davidson, Pabst Blue Ribbon, even the recently revived Midwest Express Airlines. We want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What brands do you love to love? Are they based in Wisconsin or is it from someplace else? Give us a call, 800-642-1234. You can also leave a comment on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Tom O'Gwynn is a professor of marketing and the Irwin Mayer Distinguished Chair in Business at UW-Madison. Tom, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you very much.
So cult brands, we're throwing around that term already. Yep. What are we talking about?
Well, generally cult brands are brands that have an extreme level of devotion directed to them. There's usually some kind of ritualistic, a lot of symbolic behavior around them. But just a deep level of devotion is usually the key.
It's not like I like to wear this particular brand of jeans, so I just keep buying this particular brand of jeans, right? Like there's this emotional connection.
Right. Now. And brand loyalty in general, the highest form of a really true brand loyalty is if there is an emotional component to it. So you can buy a lot of things from habit just because you always happen to buy this certain brand and have very little emotional connection to it. But when you have a lot of emotion connected to it, you may drift over into, you know, a communal brand, a tribal brand, a cult brand, which are all slightly different. But cult is probably the strongest term that is applied to a brand.
Okay. Well, we already have someone who would like to voice their support for something. Let's go to William in Racine. William, tell us about it.
Hi there. Well, I'm actually a member of the Wisconsin Quick Trip Enthusiast Club.
That's what we're talking about here.
Everything.
Okay. So why are you, you're like an official member. You're a member of the Facebook group or something?
Yep. Facebook group and everything.
Okay. And what prompted you to say, this? My allegiance is so high here that I need to do this and show my support?
Well, for starters, I really like Quick Trip's products. They're one of the few places I can get the unleaded 88 gas, which is makes my car run a lot better compared to standard unleaded. And along with that, just generally speaking, I know friends who work for Quick Trip versus other gas stations. They prefer to work there and to shop there. I just enjoy the standards that the stores themselves actually carry themselves, good products. The fact they're open 24/7 really helps a lot of times.
Sure.
I'm on the road a lot, so.
All right. Well, William, thanks for sharing your story. Tom, what do you hear there?
Yeah, well, I too. In fact, I'm sipping some Quick Trip Karuba coffee at this very moment. I make many trips a day to Quick Trip. If you say it's a cult, I'm going to believe you. It is certainly one of the best managed convenience stores I've ever seen in my life. In fact, I've never seen brand loyalty to a convenience store
right.
come anywhere near that.
Well, and, you know, our caller is not the only one. We have several comments about Quick Trip on our Facebook page at the Ideas Network. Neil said it's good food, okay prices, good quality. They treat their employees right. And James also said, I get my morning coffee there every day. It's so cheap. The staff is nice. Also treats its employees less horribly than other gas stations. But there is that aspect where there's, a moral connection to what
right.
they think the company is doing.
Right. And in sort of a larger category, in when you talk about a community or brand community, the three things you have to have are a sense of we-ness or a sense of we are a collective that are different than other people. So Quick Trip people have to be different than other people, and I think you are. And secondly, there's a little bit of ritualistic things, and the store encourages to use your frequent Quick Trip card.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also a sense of moral obligation to other people. And that's really true at Quick Trip. It is employees love working there. People like being in the store. They're friendly without acting like that. They get points for being friendly. No, I think it's it has all the characteristics of a, you know, of a community at least, and it probably a cult.
So how much of this, though, is the company creating this sort of atmosphere, this experience, and how much of it is a fan themselves going, you know what, this is what I believe and I love this? I mean, can we figure that out?
Yeah, you could. I mean, I haven't in the case of Quick Trip, other than I think it's both. Brands that where this evolves organically, in the case of Pass Through the Ribbon, which was almost out of business and then came back purely because of consumers, not the company. The company was smart enough to stay out of the way of an organic movement, which is hard for brand managers to do. But I think in the case of Quick Trip, it's both. I think it's a company with a lot of just good understanding of what makes their service special. And it is the consumer-to-consumer camaraderie of people. People stand in line there. And we stand in line all the time, right? But you talk to people in line at a Quick Trip differently than you talk to people in line at the grocery store. I think you're much more likely to talk to people. I think the way they have it laid out, it's a smart store design. But I think people feel very comfortable with other Quick Trip. They feel a familiarity to them that goes beyond any kind of rationality.
You really are describing a community.
Yeah.
Tom O'Gwin is a professor of marketing here at the UW-Madison, and we're talking about cult brands, and you're part of this conversation, 800-642-1234. Let's go ahead and take another caller. Ian is in Williams Bay. Ian, what cult brand is your favorite?
My favorite is Culver's.
All right, and why does Culver's have your dedication?
I think they're really like a unique fast food chain, especially for the Midwest. I think they really capture like the Midwest idea of what good food is. And they have things that just other places don't have, you know, like fish dinners and cheese curds, of course, you know, can't go out without those.
Right, right. All right. Thanks, Ian. I appreciate that. You know, Wisconsin, birthplace of Culver's, also home to the world's largest Culver's.
Yes.
It's a big deal here.
It is a huge deal here. And I moved here from Illinois and 15 years ago and didn't really – they had some Culver's. I didn't quite get it at first. And it took me, you know, 3 or 4 years to kind of drink the Kool-Aid. And but now I am that way about Culver's as well. I find it – that you put up with things like what, you know, you go wait at sort of inconveniently for your food to be delivered, and that is so outside the norm of fast food delivery and the way they do all their things that it makes you appreciate it more. In fact, you've endowed it with a little bit more of you because you've had to put in some work of finding the place to park and wait and put a little number on your thing. I think they do a very good job of ritualizing it and doing all the things that build cults.
Right. It's an experience.
It's very much. It's more experience than the food. The food is very good, very high quality, but it is people buy. We're an experiential economy, and people buy experiences probably more than they buy the product itself.
And Joel on Facebook also said Culver's said good food, friendly service, apparently happy employees. So again, yeah. We're pulling that line all the way around in the circle to say also this moral connection to it. All right. We're talking with Tom O'Gwin in studio with us today about Wisconsin's cult brands, those brands that we love to love for reasons, well, we can't always explain. Tom's a professor of marketing at UW-Madison, and you're part of this conversation. You can join us at 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Our conversation continues here on Central Time. You're listening to the Ideas Network. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina. Right now, we're talking with a professor of marketing who researches brand communities. And there's room for you in this discussion with Tom O'Gwin. And let's go to the phones right now. Justin in Minocqua has something to say about his cult brand following. Justin, tell us about it.
Hello, love the show, and I think it goes without mentioning that New Glarus, and especially Spotted Cow, should be mentioning.
All right, and why do you want to mention Spotted Cow?
Well, one story in particular, I went down to Mexico for a concert last year, and on a Facebook group, I just happened to mention that I was going to grab New Glarus, and I had about 10 other people across the entire country ask me for it.
Wow. Interesting. Thanks, Justin. I appreciate it. And I have to admit, I went to South Dakota, where my family is from, over Thanksgiving, and I also had a request for Spotted Cow. That's a thing?
It is. I come from Texas originally, and my Houston in-laws always want Spotted Cow. It has developed a cult following. I went to a retirement party in Los Angeles last May, and when I asked if there was anything I could bring, they said Spotted Cow. They're very smart in their marketing. One thing, they don't distribute outside of Wisconsin.
That's what I wonder about, though, because the other brands that we're talking about, Harley-Davidson, Quick Trip, Culver's, a lot of these are open to a lot of people. Spotted Cow has this very specific geographical range. Does that contribute to the cultism?
Oh, sure. It's brilliant to restrict. When you create scarcity, you tend to create demand. When you create this artificial – I don't know it's artificial. I know they – I don't know what their production facility is capable of or why they restrict it to Wisconsin. But from a marketing standpoint, it's very smart because they make it available only in Wisconsin. So – you create this national demand for it. It was like, Coors did that originally with restricting Coors to only three or four states, and then people all over the United States wanted it. They got it, and then they thought, well, it's all right. I don't know. But when you make something scarce and restricted, people want it.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense. Let's go ahead and also go to Tom in Madison, who wants to talk more about these Wisconsin brands. Tom, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I have said on numerous occasions that every single town in Wisconsin needs to have both a Quick Trip and a Culver's. I think even despite small populations, they do very well. But more importantly, those two companies should incorporate under Wisconsin law and sell stock exclusively to Wisconsin residents, just like the Green Bay Packers.
Interesting, Tom. Tom's hitting on this idea that we've got that connection. We feel like we're owners in this, and we should kind of have an advantage. What do you think there?
Yeah, I mean, that's very interesting. Not an attorney, but
right.
So I don't know anything about it. But that idea is it makes a lot of sense from a marketing and a sociology standpoint in that when you believe something is your brand – it has enormous power. It used to be, I don't know if it still is, but at the Brandenburg Gate, when you went from east to west Berlin, one of the signs you saw when you could cross the border was an East German brand of cola. I can't remember the name of it. But they said in German, our brand. And when you would at night in East Germany, they would want to drink this East German cola. You'd ask them, "Well, do you like it because of the taste?" They go, "No, it really tastes pretty bad, but it's but it's ours. It's not the West." And people get very provincial about that, and it does create a sense of unity and we-ness that is really good. And you tend to find that at its highest strength when brands have low shares, actually. So when a community or a cult or a tribe is its most threatened, you tend to find the most extreme behavior. So that's when Apple was a tiny brand, they were one of the first brands we studied, they were extreme in their behavior. They were cultish. When they grew to have a big market share, it was hard for them to hang on to that.
Yeah. Tom O'Gwin is a professor of marketing at UW-Madison, and we're talking about these cult-like followings to different brands. Let's go to Brian in Green Bay next. Brian, what's on your mind?
I just wanted to speak about a brand that I feel is a parallel to Quick Trip in Wisconsin. I'm originally from New Jersey, and we had a Wawa which was similar in that it was a gas station and a convenience store. And I think part of the experience and the reason for my brand loyalty has to do with the fact that it was a nostalgic place for me to go to lunch every day during high school. You know, you get your 6-inch shorty hoagie, and it was a place with a large selection in a town that was relatively small. And we can't forget that Quick Trip and its brand loyalty has a lot to do with its experience and being able to draw a parallel in smaller regions where there isn't really too much of a variety to offer.
Oh, Brian, thanks for sharing that. Not only the habit, but also the nostalgia, Tom.
Oh, sure. And I think, you know, the more marketers always rely on nostalgia when in hard times or in anxious times. And we live in one of the most anxious periods socially that we have in a long time. And so nostalgia is very big right now. And so people gravitate to things that makes them feel home and familiarity and comfort. So the way I've actually been to the brand you described off the New Jersey Turnpike. And yeah, I think that is, there's some brands where I grew up in Texas that are that way, where you just feel like you're home. And that has an enormous emotional connection.
Let's also talk about social media. Alyssa writes on Facebook that whoever is running Quick Trip's social media needs a raise. They're hilarious. What about social media in this game of influencing consumers and creating these cult brands?
Well, it's changing. Excuse me. It's changing every day. They are very good at it. And they were early to be good at it. What is happening in social media is impossible to keep up with because of analytics and increasingly artificial intelligence and machine learning, where companies know so much about you that it is easy rather than to see you as 320 million individual targets or 320 million total targets, is to see you as 320 million individual targets and customize messages for you. So the trick on social media is to balance a customized message to you with something that has commonality that you'll relate to. And Coca-Cola was the world's most successful brand for over 100 years. It's now been replaced by Apple and Google as it's the third most valuable brand. And Coca-Cola always says that at the heart of their brand are two facets: sociality, you socialize with Coca-Cola, and community. And that is why Coca-Cola has been Coca-Cola for 100 years. And I think that's what great brands do.
Let's welcome Laura in Madison now. Laura, what are you following like a cult?
Well, unfortunately, the plant's closed, but I used to buy Rippin' Good Cookies. And now that they're closed, of course, you can't find them. You can't get them anymore. But they had kind of a cult following. They baked cookies that no one else baked. One of my favorites was the coconut macaroon sandwich cookie. But, it really was an identity for the town of Ripon, who also had cookie days and hundreds of people worked at the factory. And, you know, so it was a big loss to the community. And that just happened a few years ago.
Laura, did you find it easy or difficult to transition your cookie love to another company?
Well, it was actually probably beneficial to me that I tapered off cookies. But, that if I would see one of those packages, and Rippin' Good Cookies weren't that easy to find in the stores, but if I saw a package of those macaroon cookies, boy, you know, I had to throw it into my basket.
I understand. Laura, thank you so much. Tom, Laura saying, I kind of stopped eating cookies as opposed to just picking up another brand.
Yeah, it's interesting. And that's not unusual at all. The best example of that, the first tablet computer that was built, sort of laptopish notebook thing, was Apple built the Newton. And the Newton was pulled by Apple I don't know, 20 years ago. And there is still an active Newton community where they sell each other parts and batteries and talk about how great and they beg Apple to bring the Newton back. And so, yeah, when a brand becomes really important to you and it's taken away, it cements brand loyalty forever in you. And what there are companies that go buy those brand names and then reissue them. So maybe somebody will bring it back. I hope so.
All right. Dom, I do wonder, is this something that this cult-like following of brands, is this something that we've always done through the years, through the centuries, or is this something that's new in this age?
No, I think we've always had community. I mean, community goes back to the Greeks debated community and then cults. The early Christians, you know, were considered cultish. The only difference really is that for the last 130 some years, we've become a consumer society. We've always had given material objects special meaning, religious artifacts, etc. But we've normalized that to where consumer goods, where Andy Warhol paints a picture of a soup can or a Brillo box, and it becomes iconic. So, no, we've always done it. It's just become more central to our society than it used to be.
And probably word can spread faster now.
Absolutely.
So we find those communities even quicker than we used to.
It's very quick to find somebody else on this planet who is into the very same thing you are.
The takeaway, you are not alone.
Right.
Tom, thank you so much for this discussion. It's fascinating. Tom O'Gwynn is a professor of marketing and the Irwin Mayer Distinguished Chair in Business at UW-Madison. Joined us in studio to talk about Wisconsin brands with cult-like followings. And you can continue this conversation with us on the Ideas Network Facebook page.